Hello, Hawk fans, and welcome to a special edition of Tales from 54th and City. My name is Joe Greenwich, and I will be joined today by a pair of soon-to-be Hall of Famers as we highlight the eight outstanding women that will be inducted into the St. Joseph's Athletic Hall of Fame in October. In just a little bit, we'll be joined by 1993 graduate Robin Bostic, a member of both the St. Joseph's Women's Basketball and Philadelphia Big Five Halls of Fame, who helped lead the Hawks to four consecutive Big Five titles while also earning first-team All-Atlantic 10 and Big Five Player of the Year accolades in 1994. But our first guest today is one of St. Joseph's all-time women's soccer greats who graduated among the program's single-season and career leaders in both goals and points. She was also named the Atlantic 10 Rookie of the Year in 2003 as she helped lead the Hawks to their first-ever postseason appearance. From the class of 2007, we're happy to have Megan Schutt joining us. Megan, I know you're on the road, so we appreciate you taking the time to call in and chat with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Congratulations on your new status as a St. Joseph's Athletics Hall of Famer.
Thank you. Super excited about it.
How did you find out that you were going to be among this year's inductees? Was there a phone call? Was there an email? Who told you?
It was actually kind of funny. My coach, Jess Reynolds, reached out to me through social media and was just like, hey, call me. And, you know, I was really busy that week. I think I'd just gotten back from maternity leave. And I was like, you know, what? This must have been a typo, you know, like something like she just doesn't randomly reach out to me asking me to reach back to her, you know?
Right.
So then I just kind of was like, I put it off. And then she was like, she ended up messaging me like, hey, you're going to get inducted in the Hall of Fame. And then at that point, I'm like, oh, my God. Sorry, I didn't reach out earlier. You know, it was one of those kind of things. So it ended up being kind of a funny story.
I say that's a very modern story, finding out about an award through a social media message.
Right.
Now, your induction is part of the Title IX celebration, the 50th anniversary of Title IX. What did it mean to you to be selected to be a part of that celebration?
Oh, it makes it even better. You know, it's so fun to be part of all these great women, especially in today's world. You know, it's so empowering and I love it. I'm all about all the girl power. So it was super exciting that it's going to be like all Title IX, all other great women, female athletes that will be inducted at the same time. So yeah, it kind of makes it a little bit more special.
So when you were playing, were you cognizant of Title IX and what it did and what its impact was on athletics and maybe on you specifically?
I don't think I was as aware of it. I don't know if it was because I grew up in Canada, you know, I'm new to the U.S. So it wasn't like, you know, in Canada, no one was talking about Title IX because it was an American thing.
Right.
And also we were always playing, like we grew up playing against the guys for soccer and hockey. So I guess I didn't realize how big the Title IX, legislation was since I was in Canada and we were in the middle of nowhere playing against the guys and we were like one of the guys, you know. Then you come to the States and I came to the States and I learned about it and just seeing how far we've come even like from when I was playing to now, it's crazy. It's really nice to see.
You mentioned hockey and being from Canada.
Yeah.
But how did you get started in soccer? What made you choose soccer?
I love soccer better than hockey. Soccer was my main sport. Hockey was fun and I played it all my life too, but soccer was just, it was my sport. I don't know how else to say it. I was better at soccer. I had more fun playing it, you know.
Now, are you allowed to get away with saying that? Is that some sort of punishable crime to say another sport is better than hockey?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm from a hockey family, so they might disown me after that. But they also understand I was like the soccer player. So
and Canada, a very strong women's soccer program at the national level as well. So it's still fairly popular, I would say, right?
Yeah, soccer is it's only picking up more and more in Canada. So
now you mentioned Jess Reynolds, your coach, still here on Hawk Hill. What was it that brought you to St. Joe's to play for Jess?
Oh my God. Well, I really like Jess and the assistant coach at the time. I think it was Jeff. You know, they recruited me. I got to go on an official visit to check out this soccer program and this campus and the team. And I had so much fun with the team. And I just felt like I was already a part of the team, you know, and I loved the fact that it was in a big city coming from a small town in Canada. And I just got really good vibes from it right from the start. So it was an easy decision for me.
It's funny, we talk to student athletes now and they say kind of the same thing even, you know, I felt like I was already included in their group when I got here. It felt like, you know, I was part of the family and, you know, all these years later, it's still the same thing is what draws folks to Hawk Hill.
Yeah. Sense of community there is really awesome. You know, it's a smaller school, but it's beautiful and everyone's so friendly and the education that they offer is really great. I don't know. It was just a perfect fit for me, you know?
So do you have a favorite memory or story that you can share and are willing to share with everybody from your time as a Hawk?
The ones that I remember. yeah, I mean, like, you know, there's always like the fun times that, like, you know, going to, I don't even know if it's still there. Is the Duck still there?
It is not.
Oh my God. Yeah. So those were always fun nights. And then you'd end up at the cheesesteak place down the street.
Larry's is still there.
Yeah. Okay. Larry's was always a hot spot. And Billy Woo's. We lived down the street from Billy Woo's. So, like, that was always like a go to. And then soccer wise, we have so many fun soccer memories, like all the traveling. And I remember my first year when, you know, they had never made the playoffs before, and we were doing pretty well, and we had this big game against George Washington on their home pitch. We were late to the game, so we had to do like our getting ready in the bus, and we did our like pep talk and motivation and everything in the bus, and everyone was so riled up, and we went out there and we beat them for the first time ever. And I feel like that was just a turning point for that season.
So it sounds like, and this probably is no surprise to anybody, that your biggest and best memories all involve the time you spent with your teammates and the folks that you met while you're at St. Joe's. Are you still in touch with any of them?
Yeah, I'm friends with, I still like through social media, like follow along, like some of my soccer friends, like, all the girls that I played with, you know, and yeah, so I haven't seen anyone in a really long time. I'm really excited to, head back to Hawk Hill for the induction ceremony so I could, you know, see the whole campus, catch up with Jess Reynolds, who I haven't seen in a really, really long time. It'll be nice to see maybe some of the new players, catch a game, you know.
When we honor student athletes and coaches and put them in Hall of Fames, we always talk about the great things they did, and rightfully so, but, you know, everyone always has challenges along the way. Is there something, and you mentioned the late arrival at George Washington kind of maybe flipping a switch for that team. Is there a challenge or an issue maybe that came up for you that you had to overcome that kind of shaped your career maybe? Maybe it was before you got to college. Maybe it was while you were on Hawk Hill.
One of the challenges I faced was coming in from a different country and getting acclimated, even though, you know, Canada is so similar to the U.S., it was still different. It was still something to get used to, even just the weather, you know, like I'm from Northern Ontario where, you know, it doesn't get that warm. So just coming in and dealing with the heat and humidity for that first preseason was definitely humbling. And then, you know, in terms of like when I played at St. Joe's, my role switched after my freshman, or maybe it switched in my sophomore year. My position got changed. So my role changed with the team, and that was something that was different, you know, that I had to overcome and make the best of, and it worked out. But it was some adversity, I guess, that I faced, like switching positions after my freshman year.
So the last question I was going to ask, and maybe that's a good segue. Is there a big lesson, and there's probably a lot of them, but what would you say maybe is the biggest lesson that you took from your athletic career into your life after Hawk Hill? You know, maybe it was adaptability. Maybe it was something about being a part of a team. What do you think is the number one thing that you look back on and say, that was such a huge thing for me to learn?
Oh, man, there's so many things that, like, playing soccer in college and or just playing sports in general teaches you. Adaptability is definitely great. Like coachability, you know, coachability is a huge one to get better in your career afterwards. And just like that team mentality, like learning really early on how to work together with a group of people. I think has really helped me professionally after, you know, after college.
Well, Megan, thank you for taking the time. We know that you're busy, you're on the road, so we appreciate you calling in, and we look forward to seeing you back on Hawk Hill for the induction in October.
Yeah, so excited to be up there again.
That was Megan Schutt, one of the 8 Hall of Fame inductees for the St. Joseph's Athletics Hall of Fame. We'll be right back after this. Today's show is brought to you by Mainline Health. 4 suburban hospitals, 4 top regional rankings, and a proud sponsor of the St. Joseph's Hawks. For award-winning human care, visit mainlinehealth.org. The Kettle Club Podcast Network is brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics. Rothman Orthopedics, the official team physicians of your St. Joseph's Hawks, provides the region with unmatched orthopedic care. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit www.rothmanortho.com. For orthopedic excellence, think Rothman first. And also by Univest. Handle all your banking remotely with the Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure, because life needs a little more wow. Live life, stay connected with Univest. Univest Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC. We're back here with our next Hall of Fame inductee, Robin Bostic. Robin, thanks for calling in and joining us today.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited about the Hall of Fame induction, and it's nice to be here with you today.
Congratulations on being one of those 8 inductees this year. You mentioned being excited. How exciting was it to get that initial notification that you were going to be a part of this class?
Well, it really came as quite a surprise. You know, I got that phone call from Coach Griffin, gave me a call, and she left a message and said to call her back. And really, the Hall of Fame induction, it was kind of the last thing that I thought she would be calling about. You know, I haven't seen Coach Griffin in a while and used to see her a little bit on the road at recruiting in July. But this year I wasn't out on the road. So I thought maybe she was just calling to catch up, and was really surprised and excited when she said that I was being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
When you hang up the phone after that call, what's the first thing that you think about? What's the first thing that you feel like, you know, obviously you mentioned, you know, about it, it's an honor, but like what is that first initial reaction, you know, after the phone call and then you get a second to yourself?
Well, you know, for me, I think just thinking about all the great women's basketball players who have played and worn the uniform at St. Joe's, I think I was just really, really humbled, and just a sense of appreciation, because when I went to St. Joe's, I knew that the program was established, and that I really was just going to try and fit in and to try to help the team win, and didn't anticipate or didn't really go with the goal of being the type of player that would have the kind of career that would be good enough to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
With this being the 50th anniversary of Title IX and that celebration this year, what did it mean to you to be a part of that Hall of Fame class that is going in conjunction with that celebration?
Well, I think, you know, for me with my age, I truly grew up being a child of Title IX. I was born just 1 year before it was passed. And so I was able to take advantage of every opportunity that was put out there for me with regards to sports. I played a lot of different sports when I was younger. You know, I did soccer. I played on a soccer team with the boys. And without Title IX, I don't know that I would have been able to do that. And then just having the opportunities with basketball and being able to put myself in a position where I could get a scholarship and have that pay for my education. I mean, that was just an incredible opportunity for me. And, you know, I wanted to really take advantage of all the doors that opened because of Title IX.
So it sounds like growing up that you were very aware of the impact of that legislation and its wider effect, but also more specifically on the type of athletic career you would be able to have.
For sure. You know, and as I was growing up, I don't know how much I was aware that this law was passed and that's why I had all these opportunities. But, you know, looking back, probably once I got into college and beyond, I knew and understood a little bit more that I would not have been able to do the things that I did and have those opportunities if it wasn't for Title IX.
So we talk about when you're younger, how did you get started playing basketball? You mentioned playing other sports. Was basketball the first one? Was it the one you were best at? Was it just the one you liked the most? How did you first get started on the hardwood?
You know, it was kind of a combination of all those things. I come from a good sized family, so I have three siblings, an older sister, older brother, and a younger brother. And my dad played basketball, so he kind of, that was his love in the sport that I think he wanted to get us all involved in. So I remember being a kid and just, you know, being really little, probably grade school, and going to watch him play pickup and open gym and leagues and those things. And so as I got older, it just seemed kind of natural that I was going to be a basketball player. And my older sister and older brother both played basketball. So I was always kind of in the gym and tagging along to watch their games and practices. But my parents, they encouraged us to try a lot of different sports. So I did, as I mentioned, I played soccer, played softball, track and field, and then just really kind of settled on basketball once I got to high school.
So once your career developed into being a basketball career, what was it that brought you to St. Joseph's? What was it about Hawk Hill that drew you to SJU?
Well, you know, it was a lot of different things. I think one thing that really drew me to St. Joe's is that I had a good familiarity with some of the players on the team already. One of my high school teammates, who was a couple years older than me, she was on the team at St. Joe's, and she had transferred to St. Joe's. And so she just, you know, really had a lot of positive things to say about the team and about the staff and kind of the whole environment. And I also went to a small Catholic high school. And so I think going to St. Joe's really kind of fit what I wanted and what I was looking for. At the time, you know, I think when you're trying to make a decision, sometimes you can think about, well, I go to a small Catholic high school, so I want to go to the biggest school and just something that's going to be completely opposite from that. But the more that I looked into it and did my research and took my visits, I think St. Joe's just felt most like home for me.
That's funny. I spoke with one of your fellow inductees, Megan Shutt, a little earlier, and she mentioned, you know, what brought her to St. Joe's. And it's funny how it doesn't matter what time period you're talking, whether it's the 90s, the 2000s, or today, it always seems like it's the same thing. It's, you know, they come to campus, they love it. They feel like part of the team when they get there and part of a family. And it's just kind of, it's nice to hear that it doesn't matter what time period we're talking about. It's the same kind of thing that brings people back.
It is definitely. And I was the only freshman when I came in, and I redshirted my freshman year. But the upperclassmen really just took care of me and made me feel like a huge part of the family.
Well, speaking of that family, I'm sure you've got a lot of them, but can you share maybe a favorite memory or story? You know, like I've said, that you're willing to share and that you're able to share with everybody about your time on Hawk Hill.
You know, there were so many. I was thinking about that last night and pulled out some old media guides and some old, was looking at some old pictures. And I think what really sticks with me, it's not necessarily maybe one story, but I think it's all the bus trips and the staying in the hotel and the practices when we really all had to kind of dig deep and stay together. Maybe when Coach Foster was getting on us a little bit and trying to make times in some of the drills. So those are really the things and the stories and the memories that I hold are really, really dear to me. Coach Foster, I think, was always trying to kind of educate us and open some cultural doors for us. So, you know, taking us out to pretty good restaurants and making sure that we were experiencing things other than just Larry's cheesesteaks.
That's the second mention of Larry's cheesesteaks on this episode.
It's a classic. I can't wait to get back and try one.
I would say that it seems like, and again, it doesn't matter where you went or when, but those times that you spend with your teammates, not necessarily, you know, on the floor or in a game, but, you know, the camaraderie of spending time together, you all spend so much time together, and it's the lighter moments that really stick with everyone as they get older and as they move on. You mentioned going to Larry's or different restaurants. Those are the kind of experiences, you know, a game is 40 minutes long, but those are the experiences that seem to stick with everyone. Do you notice that as part of your career in the coaching field, that you see that with the players that you work with too?
Oh, definitely. You know, I think there are obviously some big wins and some big losses, but I think the times and the memories that really stick are just the little things, hanging out in the locker room, hanging out in the training room, just kind of being goofy on road trips, trying not to get caught before curfew or whatever it might be with room checks and things like that. And those are the fun things that you'll always take with you.
You know, we talk about the fun stuff and all the accolades that folks earn as they go into a Hall of Fame. And everyone has challenges or some sort of adversity they have to overcome, you know, whether it's on the field, on the floor, or in life. Is there a challenge that you can think of from your time on Hawk Hill where you came out of the other side and you knew that you were better off for it, that it was going to help shape maybe the rest of your career or even the rest of your life?
Yeah, definitely. You know, as I mentioned, coming in as the only freshman, the team was very well established, and Dale Hodges, the iconic All-American and mm-hmm. probably the best player in St. Joe's women's basketball history. She was a senior on the team. So when I came in, I just wanted to really try to learn from her. And I ended up getting injured my first year. So I had a stress fracture and ended up redshirting for the whole season. So that was a challenge, just trying to stay focused and engaged, even knowing that I wasn't going to be able to participate in the games. So once I was able to come back and you know, practice fully, I really had to kind of challenge myself every day, you know, to understand that I had this opportunity to practice against Dale. He was just an incredible, incredible player, and just to try to learn from her and the work ethic that she put in every single day. And so my freshman year, that year that I redshirted, you know, if I could do something against Dale in practice, then I would count that as my daily win. And so I actually have a picture that I still have of, we were scrimmaging in practice, and at the jump ball, the tip, I'm like actually out jumping Dale Hodges.
Really?
So, So that was my highlight of my freshman year and my redshirt year. And then Coach Foster also really challenged me that year. You know, he wanted me to get in the gym and put in the time and go from being a center to being a three, to being a small forward. And so I had some mental struggles just with really trying to overcome and be able to put in that time. But, you know, it was worth it. I came out of that year and took all those lessons that I learned about being injured and how to stay mentally focused, and started my first game that I was eligible the following year. And then ended up being a Big Five rookie of the year.
Do you think that you benefited from, in some way, from that being your first year? You know, you hadn't, you know, gotten into a groove here and then had to sit. Like you came in and you were able to make that change in position and, you know, kind of up your game a little bit before you got started playing college ball?
Yeah, definitely. I think that was a benefit, just because I think it's always an adjustment for freshmen coming in, just to get used to being in college and being away from home and being on a different schedule. So being able to redshirt, I was able to kind of figure some of those things out as well as dealing with my injury and then being able to come back from that.
Last thing I want to ask you, and it may be, the answer may be what we just talked about, but you know, we're all supposed to learn about ourselves as much as anything while we're in college. Is there a lesson that you took from your time at St. Joe's, your athletic career? Maybe it was your time off the court. Maybe it was something at school that you carried into your postgraduate life and that you think back on as maybe the biggest thing that impacted you and the biggest thing you remember from your years on Hawk Hill.
I think probably what it is just, always be willing to help people. You know, I had so many people who just put so much time into helping me develop as a player and become a better person. One thing about being at St. Joe's is that, you know, the Sixers used to practice there, and there's such a rich tradition of basketball at St. Joe's and in Philadelphia. And so I had coaches such as, you know, Coach Foster brought in Jack McKinney, to the legendary coach, just to come in and work with me. And he's this, you know, former NBA coach who was working with a little college freshman. And then everybody else, all the other coaches who just invested so much time into making me a better person. And so I think one thing that I take away is just, you have to be generous with your time and be willing to do that and invest in others. And by doing that, things will come back to you as well. But if you're able to pour into others, then that's kind of how things develop. So I think that's kind of how I've tried to be with my coaching career, is just to really try to give back to all the student athletes that I coach.
That's kind of the mindset that leads you into a coaching career in the first place, doesn't it?
Exactly. I mean, I just had such a great experience at St. Joe's, and just want to kind of give that experience to every player that I'm fortunate enough to coach and to be a part of their lives.
Robin, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Again, congratulations, and we look forward to seeing you on Hawk Hill next month.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it.
That was Robin Bostic. We heard earlier from Megan Schutt, two of our Hall of Fame inductees. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back with more next time. See you then. Be sure to subscribe to the Kettle Club Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. You can also find us at sjuhawks.com/podcasts.